Okay.
Hi.
So my name has actually changed since I submitted the abstract. Thank you. And I have, which do I click to? Okay, I have no financial relationships to disclose. So I know this is no news to people in this room, but schooling-related health differences are among the largest and most wide-ranging of health disparities. And just as a quick demonstration, these graphs show life expectancy of 25-year-olds in the United States in 2006. So you can see that overall, both men and women with less than a high school degree at age 25 in 2006 could expect to live almost a decade less long than people with a college degree. So these are huge disparities. And given how large they are and how persistent over time, our hypothesis was that these education-related disparities in health and in mortality might not only occur within generations, but actually across generations of families, and contribute to these long-standing health disparities that we see by socioeconomic status in the U.S. So there's been some research looking at parent schooling and the health of their children. A lot of this comes out of the life course epidemiology literature, where parent schooling is used as a marker for childhood socioeconomic status. And this literature has related better parent schooling or higher levels of parent education to a whole host of better mental and physical health outcomes among their adult children and among mortality in the adult children. But there are literature going back an extra generation, looking at grandparent schooling, is far more sparse. As you would imagine, it's hard to find these data. So the small handful of studies that we found were all in Europe, and were pretty disparate. So one found that among Danish men, having more highly educated grandparents was related to lower mortality. Another found that among Swedish women, having more highly educated grandparents was related actually to a higher risk of hospitalization for an eating disorder. It's a grab bag. And the third one that I could find found that among Polish university students, having more highly educated grandparents was related to taller height. All right, make of that what you will. Oops, sorry, I went the wrong way. So we wanted to address this question in the US by looking at grandparent schooling and the health status, obesity, and smoking of their adult grandchildren. And just a little vocabulary, so it gets complicated because we have three generations of families here. So G1 is the grandparent generation. Their children, the parents, are generation 2, G2. And the grandchildren, whose adult health we'll be looking at, are G3. Does that make sense? Whoops, sorry, wrong way. So one pretty clear way that grandparents' schooling might be related to their grandchildren's adult health is that grandparents with more education have children with more education, who in turn have children with more education, and then those grandchildren get to reap the benefits of their own higher education. So we wanted to look at that, but we also wanted to look at what I'm going to call a direct effect of grandparent schooling here. And what I mean by that in this context is potential effects of grandparent schooling on the grandchildren's adult health that are independent of the parents' and the grandchildren's own educational attainment, their own schooling. Does that make sense? So we actually looked at two different things. We looked at what I'm going to call the total effect of grandparent schooling that both includes effects that are funneled through the parent and grandchild schooling and this direct effect that is independent of parent and grandchild schooling. And there are actually a bunch of ways that could happen. The way that comes most to mind for these direct effects is through direct interaction between the grandparents and the grandchildren. And that's something that might happen more as lifespans increase. For example, as of the year 2000, about 3/4 of 30-year-olds in the U.S. had at least one living grandparent. And that's compared to only half in 1960. So that's increasing. Another thing to keep in mind is that as of 2005, 1/4 of kids age 5 and under were getting some kind of regular caretaking from grandparent. But there are actually other ways that grandparent schooling could directly excuse me, not infect, affect the health of the grandchildren that don't require social interaction and don't necessarily even require that the grandparent be living. So one of these ways is through financial gifts, whether that's gifts with living grandparents or inheritances from deceased grandparents, through directly paying for the health care of those grandchildren, or through more social privileges, access to institutions, access to people in power that have been cultivated through the grandparents, and then this gets passed along as privilege to the grandchildren. So the data come from the panel study of income dynamics. This is a social science data set. It's the longest running household survey in the world. It was started in 1968 with a nationally representative sample of US families. It's still ongoing. There were annual surveys through 1997, and then for budgetary reasons, they cut back to every other year. But it's really an amazing data set. I suggest that you check it out, actually. And the cool thing about the PSID is that you have these core families that were sampled. Within that family, there's one primary respondent, usually the male head of household, although not always. And you have the most information about that. It's called the head in the PSID. You also have a good amount of information about the wife, or wife in quotes, which is PSID jargon for a cohabiting female partner of the head, and limited information about other family members. But what's nice is when someone in one of those sample families moves out, for example, if you have a child who grows up and starts a new household, that new household is reincorporated back into the PSID. So because of that, you have really nice multi-generational information on these families. So this slide shows how you get from 70,000 to 4,600. The inclusion criteria for our analysis, we had PSID members who were a head or wife in the 2009 study wave. And this is because the health outcome information we're looking for was only available for the heads and wives in these households. Unfortunately, this analysis is limited to non-Hispanic, black, or white race because the sample sizes in the other racial and ethnic groups are very, very small. And one thing we're interested in looking at whether these relationships differ by race. They had to be aged 25 to 55 in 2009. The main reason for this is that when you're looking across generations like this, one of the big worries is there are large secular changes in the health outcomes and in education throughout the 20th century. So you have some really strong cohort effects you might be dealing with. So we tried to limit that somewhat by limiting the age range of our sample. And then finally, the sample members had to have at least one parent in the PSID who was also in the PSID. The reason for that is that the measure of grandparent schooling was actually reported by the parent. Does that make sense? The parent was reporting about their own parents, which is the grandparents. So we have about 4,600 people here. We looked at three different health outcomes. One limitation, the PSID has great data, but it is a social science survey. So these are all self-reported, and in some cases actually proxy-reported measures, because the head of household will often report on behalf of both him or herself and the wife, or wife in quotes. So we have health status, which is dichotomized, fair or poor versus excellent, very good or good. Obesity, based on height and weight, self or proxy-reported. Just keep that in mind as a caveat. Defined as having a body mass index greater or equal to 30, and current smoking. Now, another complication with an analysis like this is you have all these grandparents and all these education levels. So we simplified this by combining information on all four grandparents to create one measure of the highest level of education for any grandparent. And we created four categories: less than high school is the referent group, and then indicators for high school, some college, or college degree. So the way you'd interpret this is the high school measure means at least one grandparent has a high school degree. No grandparent has more than that. So there's a little bit of an analytic challenge as well. To start with, let's say we wanted to estimate that total effect, so both including pathways through parent and grandchild schooling, and independent of that. What we would have to do is adjust for confounders that might confound the association between grandparent schooling and the grandchildren's health. And you can see here what those confounders were in our data. The problem is when we want to estimate that direct effect that is independent of the parent and the grandchild's schooling, that's the dark arrow there, that means that we also have to adjust for these other sets of confounders that would confound those other associations. And on top of that, there are some things that are both confounders and mediators and mess up our whole situation here. Like a big one that comes to mind for me is grandparent poverty. It's very likely that the grandparents' poverty is going to result from how much education they have and might affect the health of the grandchildren. That means it's a mediator. We would not want to adjust for it in a model. But at the same time, grandparent poverty might confound the association between parent education and grandchild health, meaning that we're going to have a biased estimate unless we do adjust for it. So you can't adjust for it, but you have to adjust for it. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. The way we got around this was by using marginal structural models. That's a type of model where instead of adjusting for confounders, you use weights to create a kind of a pseudo population that's balanced across exposure levels on the covariates. So you don't have confounding, and you don't have to adjust, so you deal with this problem. So here are results for obesity. You can see them separately for whites, among whites on the left, blacks on the right. These are the total effects, so both including those that go through parent and grandchild schooling and independent of that. And what you see is among the whites on the left, there's a pretty strong dose response type relationship where higher, compared to having all grandparents with less than a high school degree, having more highly educated grandparents is related to lower prevalence of obesity. But on the among the blacks, you really don't see that at all. It's pretty flat, nothing. These are now the direct effects. So these, we're trying to estimate effects of grandparent schooling that are not related to your own schooling or your parents' schooling. Some attenuation, but the overall pattern is actually pretty similar. And to facilitate comparison across the groups, these are predicted probabilities of obesity for different levels of grandparent schooling, and these are estimated for the case where the parent schooling and the grandchild schooling are just a high school degree. And so what you can see, to me this looks like an overlaying of socioeconomic and racial disparity, where not only is higher grandparent schooling related to a lower probability of obesity among whites, but not among blacks, but also at any level of grandparent schooling, you have a lower probability of obesity among whites than among blacks. And this is actually even kind of stronger for the poor health status outcome. We see the same pattern, but that racial difference is even larger. Smoking is a little bit different. The associations are actually pretty similar, and if anything, you see a more graded response among blacks than whites, where higher grandparent schooling is related to a lower probability of current smoking. And I'd love to hear what you think about this. I think this has to do with different patterns over time in the prevalence of smoking in relation to the other outcomes. That's why I think the racial differences are different for different outcomes. So, higher grandparent schooling was related to better adult health. We did have evidence of a direct effect, independent of parent and participant schooling, for health status and obesity, but not smoking. This is more evident among whites than blacks. And I didn't really talk about this, but we also used a conventional regression approach, and we did get somewhat different answers. This is self and proxy reported data. This is a survivor sample. These families had to survive to produce adult children for three generations and had to remain in the PSID for three generations. As I mentioned before, cohort effects likely play some part here. I may play a role in the race differences. We did use this simplified grandparent schooling measure, so we didn't look, for example, whether one particular grandparent, their education matters more than others. Gender is also probably playing a role here that we did not look at specifically. But just to conclude, I think we do have evidence of these really long-lasting familial health disparities. There may be implications for today's children. We're trying to intervene, and I think we should, to improve educational outcomes among today's children, but we have to remember that there may still be lasting effects going back generations. And grandparents may themselves serve as a target for intervention. Especially, there's been a good amount of work looking at caregiving grandparents, but the majority of the grandparents in our sample and the majority of grandparents in the U.S. are not full-time caregivers of their grandchildren. That doesn't necessarily mean, however, that they're not playing an important role in their grandchildren's health. Oops. And thank you, and thank you to my grandparents. So that's kind of like asking whether the effect of grandparent schooling is different depending on your own schooling and your parents' schooling. We did not find evidence for that interaction in these data, but a big caveat is I think one reason for that is that we just didn't have enough sample too. To me, it's very plausible that actually any effect of your grandparents' education is going to depend on your own, even though statistically we did not find evidence of those differences here. So based on our analysis, the graph looks the same.
Okay.
We did. So we looked separately at, so we had 25 to 55-year-olds. We looked at breaking it out, 25 to 35, 35 to 45, 45 to 55. It blew up a little bit because our sample wasn't large enough. The best I can say is we did still see these associations, but there is some evidence that they may have varied somewhat between the different groups. So I don't think the cohort effects explain this, but there might be differences between cohorts that are averaged over in these results. Yep.
Do you have any plans to look at gender and grandparents in school? Like, I would imagine, based on time, if you're dealing with adults now, an adult as a grandmother went to college 50, 60 years ago, that might have been a little bit of an anomaly in terms
of that gender effect in the future. Yeah, I really want to look at that. Another reason I really like to look at it is that the distribution is very different. For example, in this sample, there are a lot of maternal grandmothers present among the black participants, whereas that's very different in the white participants. The problem is we just don't have enough people. So I'm trying to locate some other data sources I can use. I don't think we'd be able to do it with these data. But I agree that that's a big elephant in the room here.
I'm an American, but I live in Denmark.
Oh, okay.
The reason why there is this research in the Nordic countries is because they have registers for everything, and you can link, if you have a study subject, you can link that person's personal identification number with all these different registers. So that's how they've been able to do this research on grandparents. So you might want to try to find a colleague to collaborate with in one of the Nordic countries that tests out some of your hypotheses there.
Thank you. That's a good, especially like for that gender hypothesis. That's a great idea. I know particularly like Sweden and Norway have done a lot of good multi-generational analyses exactly because of that, because they can link people. Thank you. Yep. The Swedish Witch Registry? Twin. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to write that down if you sit down. Okay, thanks.